and welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on Season 3, Episode 14, The Cliffhanger. Most important information before we even get started. I'm getting my hair cut next week.
Ooh, me too.
I'm booked in. Very excited.
Amazing.
Can't I feel wait. Like regular listeners of this podcast will like appreciate that we have been in lockdown forever. If you're not in the UK, if you're not in Scotland, we have been grounded since October. Is that right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Much for a year.
Yeah. Hard lockdown since Christmas, but like pretty much grounded since October. Yeah. We had a little bit of freedom last summer, and now the world is opening up again.
Yeah, my last haircut was, I think, the eve of Christmas Eve,
maybe. Oh, man. Yeah, mine's was that week too.
Yeah.
Well, I know the listeners don't give a shit, but it is the most exciting thing happening in my
life.
Maybe
we could record next Friday.
When we both had our haircuts. Show off our good hair. I think the energy might be too much. Yeah. We'll be too high for a Friday and a fresh haircut.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah. Yes, we are I've Never Seen the OC. I'm Heather. I have never seen the OC.
I'm Jane. I have seen the OC many times.
And yeah, we chat through each episode and talk about the highs and lows of Newport Beach. Before we go too much further into this episode, now that we've rambled about our hair for 3 minutes, there is a small, I don't want to say a trigger warning, but a content warning for this episode. If you've seen the OC before, you know us coming up. If you haven't seen the OC before, there is an accidental death at the end of this episode. So if you're not feeling that today, or if you're, you know, death is a heavy one, man. Yeah, if it's not your vibe today, then, you know, go listen to another one. The Valentine's Day ones are great. Go back and listen to them. Chrismica, always a good one.
Yep.
Rainy Day Women. That's your favourite. There's loads to choose from, guys. But if you're going to continue on, let's go.
Yeah. So previously on the OC, so Seth bombed the interview in the respect that he didn't go, and he lied about it to Summer. And if we remember...
But he did it because he was stoned off his tit.
Yeah, okay, that was a key part of it.
Important part.
But yeah, flashing back as well that Summer has already told him never to lie to her.
Yeah.
Which he has and continues to do so. So yeah, all is not well there. I don't think there's much coming back from this for Seth.
No. I don't even know where to begin with that storyline. Caitlin was being a big poop stirrer, wasn't she? She was just pointing out to Ryan that Marissa likes Johnny. Why would she mind if I invited him to my party? Like, just stud in trouble, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's the worst.
But Marissa, adamant and as always, that she loves Ryan, that she's not interested in Johnny, yada, yada, yada. And Julie and Dr. Roberts kind of broke up, didn't they?
Yeah. They decided, well, I think he pretty much decided that she had too much baggage, there was too much going on. Their excitement about their little romance was curbed short at the end of the last episode. And Sandy lied to Kirsten about the hospital, so we need to find out, will she find out? He'd wanted to do things his way, try to take them on a walking tour, the investors on a walking tour of the area.
Got them bagels, them churros,
bagels,
all the good
burritos,
stuff.
But that didn't work, so... Matt just got them some strippers, prostitutes, who knows?
Two very polar extremes of how to treat your clients right there. And that's it. We move, we go. Straight away in this episode, safety police. Now, I know they're very wealthy. I know they're in a gated community. I know crime doesn't happen in areas like this. But why is Ryan sleeping with his door windows open? Like, I can't sleep like that. I can barely sleep with a window open again. And I'm on a first floor flat.
They don't care. Yeah, maybe they've got some security we've not seen before.
security we're not aware of.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sandy comes strolling in, striding in to the pool house to wake Ryan up because Seth has gone. His bed is empty and clearly it's like sunrise. It's clearly very, very early.
Yeah, his alarm's gone off and he's not in his bed. Ryan instantly makes an excuse and says that Seth's gone to school early, that he's got a calculus exam. But yeah, Sandy isn't convinced and actually wants to drive over to the school.
Yeah. And Ryan, being the good brother friend figure that he is like, no, I've got it. Don't worry. I'll go and find him. I'll go and deal with him. I'll let you know. Don't worry. And Sandy very ominously is like, if there's anything going on with Seth, you would tell me, right? It's like, of course he's not going to tell him, by the way, your son's getting stoned all the time because he's sad because he doesn't want to leave Newport.
Yeah. That's not going to happen. Like,
I'm all for people being open with their parents, but that's probably a step too far.
Yeah, a step too far.
Although Sandy used to smoke the pot at Berkeley,
yeah,
so maybe he'd be okay with it. Maybe he'd be like, sweet, pass to the left, bro.
But we then have Ryan find Seth at the pier, and he claims that he's just taking in the sunrise, and brooding. But he tells Ryan that he's thinking about stuff.
Yeah. And this is where he tells Ryan about Brown and not going to the interview, yeah, and that he's been lying to Summer, not only about not getting into Brown, but also about the pot. And he's like, Summer was over pot in like 10th grade. I don't want to tell her about it because like she's just going to think I'm really immature and not uncool. Yeah. And he's like, it'd be like telling her I'm into Beanie Babies. I don't think that's a direct comparison, but sure, okay. And I really don't like this because Seth and Ryan, are both making it out like it's smoking the pot's fault, thus the drug's fault, that he didn't go to the interview. And I don't think that's the case at all.
No.
Like, it is Seth's choice, it's Seth's decision. He started that spiral. He went down that road.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can be like, oh, well, I checked out the interview because I was smoking pot. It's like, no, you took weed because you were checking out of the interview.
He's just looking to pass the blame, isn't he, rather than deal with what he's going through.
Seth Cohen passing the blame.
I know, imagine that. but I think Ryan's more concerned as well about the bigger picture. He's like, well, are you actually at the pier seeking out some more weed? But Seth says he's done with it, but it's not very convincing, is it?
No. I also, I'm not a drug dealer. I don't hang out with drug dealers, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think drug dealers are hanging around piers at dawn.
No.
I don't think that's their shift time. I would imagine they're just more coming, of an evening situ.
Unless they're just coming from their hangouts, you know? All-nighters, walk of shame.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Weird. I think this was written by somebody who has never bought pot before.
But yeah, they've sort of come to the deal that Ryan's going to keep quiet about the pot if he tells Summer.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we're into the credits and opening with Caitlin and Marissa at the trailer.
Yeah, Caitlin's picking out some swimwear because Johnny's taking her for a surf lesson. Now, come with me on this journey. This is actually quite cute. If you, I get 15 to 17 is quite an age gap. But for like the fact that, you know, they're going on a date, like he's taking her surfing, getting her into something that he really loves. I was like, no, this is a cute date. I like this. This is nice.
It would be cute if she's spending all this time picking a bathing suit when, if we flash back to two episodes ago, she's just whipping all her kit off and getting in the sea. So... And then
last episode,
we had her giving him a hug when she just got out the pool. So I think, it's not convincing. And also, I did like when she said, though, do you think tankinis are over? Do you remember those?
Yes, I do. Although tankinis, I don't know.
I remember having when I was a teenager. Like, I had a couple. Yeah.
I think I had one when I was like in that weird, 11 to 12 where you're not quite a kid anymore but you're not quite a teenager,
yeah.
So it's like a taste of a bikini without it being too sexy.
Yeah, and I actually I love a one piece,
I'm also a very practical swimmer. I have large boobs. They're there. You can't hide them. And I sometimes find in one's, like, one's pieces and bikinis, as soon as you go to do, like, a breaststroke or if you go in to do a front crawl, like, it, everything goes everywhere. And I don't need that. I need something that, you know, everything's locked and loaded and I can do some lengths without things breaking free.
That is very practical. I would never, ever, ever think of that practicality. For me, a swimsuit or a bikini is something that looks cute, and the only time I go in the pool or the sea is to cool down. No actual swimming is performed at any point.
There's me doing butterfly in the kids' pool, and yeah, you're like,
not getting my hair wet.
It's not swimming if you don't get your hair wet, Jane.
Yeah, and pools, like, totally ruin my tan as well, make it all patchy. That's my fake tan, not my real tan.
We're very different beach and pool goers.
Anyway.
I'll be with Johnny getting my surf lessons, thanks.
Yeah, although the first lesson, we'll get to that, but she didn't even go in the sea, so yeah, maybe I could take up
maybe that could be your jam. But yeah, once Caitlin's picked out, or in the midst of picking out her swimwear, she's kind of having a go at Marissa, like, oh, are you still mad at me? And Marissa is like, I'm not mad. Do I look mad? Like, I don't care. I'm not bothered.
Yeah, I think she is quite chill about it, because when she says, oh, Johnny's taking me for a surf lesson, she doesn't react as you'd expect. She's just a bit like, oh, yeah, I hear the waves are good at this time. Like, she's trying to keep it cool. But Caitlin just keeps battering on with, oh, you have feelings. And yeah, she does it so that she doesn't really give Marissa a chance to articulate our feelings, so Caitlin just takes that as, yep, okay, that's it. And then obviously Johnny
you
shows
do
up.
Like, yeah, I just, we talked about this in the last episode, I find this so frustrating, because, like, what is Marissa meant to say that makes her sound like she doesn't like him? Like, it's like, as soon as, like, if someone's like, oh, you're mad, you're like, I'm not mad. There's literally nothing you can say that doesn't make it sound like you're annoyed.
Not mad, yeah.
It's such a vicious cycle, a vicious circle.
But Marissa, Johnny arrives, Marissa says, enjoy the beach. And she leaves. Yeah. And we then cut to Kirsten and Julie at the Coens. Now, this scene is just, it's just ridiculous.
It's a lot to unpick here. First issue, this woman is not 39 years old.
No.
Not 39 years old. As someone who is, you know, not that far away from 30.
God, that's terrifying, 39. Isn't it?
Yeah, not that far away from 39.
Wow. Well,
I better not look like that when I'm 39. I'll be livid. I didn't even catch her name. Blonde 39-year-old lady.
Blonde first, is it the one she ends up going on the date
with?
No,
I think it's a different one.
Different one. Yeah, no, I've not written it down either, but
a very B character. A B character we didn't catch the name of.
Yeah.
But she loves tennis and loves working out.
But yeah. They're discussing clients and trying to fix people up on dates. But Julie doesn't feel like setting anyone up, because she's still so heartbroken, so gutted about Dr. Roberts. And she comments that she hopes the woman dies alone. So exactly what you want from a matchmaking service, huh?
Yeah, pretty brutal. But I get that. She can't focus on other people's love lives when hers is such a mess.
Yeah.
But Kirsten thinks that Dr. Roberts will call her, or she could call him, the eternal optimist, Kirsten Cohen.
Mm. Or they could set up a plan to set up Dr. Roberts on a few dates to make him come running back to Julie. What the fuck? These are adult women. This is insane.
This is not, I don't know why anyone thought this was going to end well. Yeah, he'll be put off by the noopsies and come back to Julie, basically, realize how great she is. Just the worst idea. Like, the absolute worst idea. We talked about this before, actually, when, like, the adults have been getting in on, like, the kids' schemes and the kids' plans, like, at Chrismica, when Ryan was getting his bar mitzvah, or something else. Oh, when Veronica, they were trying to break up Veronica and Dr. stuff. Roberts. And it's like, adults would not do that.
Nah.
Like, I'd like to hope adults wouldn't do that. We're adults.
Yeah. No.
No.
But Julie says as well, half of the client list he has Botoxed.
Nothing wrong with Botox, guys. Each to their own.
She's quite happy to go with this plan.
Yeah, you're sneakier than I thought. And Kirsten's like, clearly you have rubbed off on me.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice. I really like Kirsten and Julie's friendship. It's really blossoming. Cute. Summer, over to her, sitting on a bench at school, writing a thank you note to the Brown interviewer. What a brown-nosing goody two-shoes. No, that's not cool. I wouldn't give her it, just being like, try hard.
But she wants to thank him for the resplendent interview she's purchased at Thesaurus. and she thinks that they've power bonded, and Seth still doesn't come clean. You can tell it's one of those, I think we've talked about this before, but he knows he has to do it. He's come to be honest with her, but then manages to like talk himself out of it as, now it's not the right time.
Just chickens out. Clearly chickens out. Although I did really like what they did here, because Summer is like, me and Shelley power bonded.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm so sure in the last episode when we saw Seth walk away, we saw her come out of the room, it was a guy that was interviewing her. Like, I've written that down. I was like, I'm so sure it was a guy in the last episode. And then Seth's like, oh, you know, I turned on my Cohen charm, blah, 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 blah. And Summer's like, Shelley's a guy, which is her first moment of, oh, something is up here.
Yeah. And he tries to talk his way out of it and fails.
We'll talk later.
And just runs away. Classic Seth. So then we jump over to Ryan and Marissa. They're chatting over coffee. And Marissa wants to know if Ryan told Summer about Seth and the pot. And he says he's going to keep quiet if Seth tells Summer the truth about the interview.
Yeah. I completely forgot that Marissa knew about the weed in the pot and all that. Like, completely forgot. And I was like, oh my God, Ryan's told her. And I was like, oh, wait. No,
yeah.
She knows.
She knows.
Part of the storyline.
But Marissa's disappointed because she wanted to see Summer bitch slap Caitlin.
Yeah. And it's that kind of vibe. As an older sibling, I kind of get this. Like, because she says, like, oh, Caitlin's getting away with it, like always. And I think you're an older sibling as well. Like, I don't know if you got this, but I definitely got into way more trouble for stuff like on the first round when it was happening to me, then like 4 years later when Callum was doing it, or it was happening to Callum, my younger brother, he like barely got into trouble, and I was like,
oh yeah,
how come I got into so much shit for that and he gets away with it scot-free?
Yeah, they were allowed to do so much more.
The joy of the younger sibling, hey.
But Ryan thinks that Marissa's giving Caitlin too hard a time, and he's just a bit like, what is going on here? She's a kid. And then Marissa's like, yeah, she's a kid with my mum's DNA.
And she kind of just writes it off as it being like sister stuff. She's like, oh, don't worry about it. It's just sister stuff. And you can tell Ryan's kind of sitting on that, like, that's weird.
I really like Ryan in this episode. Like, there's various parts that I've thought, yeah, he's really held his own, like, without totally cracking given everything that he's had in the last few episodes. But yeah, there's parts of this I'm just like, yes, Ryan.
Yeah, he's good. Right, on to Caitlin surfing and learning on sand. This is actually how you learn to surf. You don't go in the water, you have to learn to pop up.
No thanks.
But she kind of blows off the lesson, doesn't she? She's like, I'm over this. I don't want to do this anymore. And you can tell Johnny's been a bit of a dick about it. He's like, well, you know, you need to practice, you need to do this, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, this is not what I'm here for. Like, I'm literally here to like hang out with you. Like, can we just hook up already?
Yeah, she's like, let's write the movies, get some pancakes. Although this made me feel really weird. I don't know, just when she was talking about pancakes and there was just so much sand, and I was like, oh, sand and pancakes just don't mix. I know they weren't going there, but it just really
sure, don't make the pancakes guilty by association. They can live in their own sand-free world.
But Johnny's distracted, and Caitlin assumes it's Marissa, and she's like, oh, I like a guy and he likes my sister. But then this was weird as well. Johnny says that he and Marissa have complicated history.
Yeah.
How?
So there's two lines, one after the other, that I was like, this scriptwriter needs a firm talking to. Exhibit A, she says, oh, story of my life, I like a guy and he's in love with my sister. That hasn't happened before.
Although, did she not quite like Luke? But again, she was probably about five. But
and also,
it's not like love.
No, and also, she hasn't been around her sister for 2 years. Yeah. So clearly, it's not the story of her life. That's a ridiculous thing to say. And then exhibit B or exhibit two, I can't remember which one, if I went for one or A in the first one.
Let's go with B.
Exhibit B, he says exactly that. Marissa and I have a history together. And I'm like, do you? Like, do you?
No.
You had one deep and meaningful chat about Trey and your joint trauma. And then she helped you when you hurt your knee. Like, that's literally it. That's two things. That's not a joint history. You've been pals for, like, less than 6 months. Shut up.
Yeah. Ugh. But he says it's complicated. And Caitlin says, well, uncomplicate it. And then she's like, if you're too lame, then I'll find someone that will.
Yeah. I can't do anything. Johnny.
But she stalks off and the lesson's cut short.
Yes.
So we then were at the Newport group with Sandy and Matt, and shock horror, there's a hitch in their project.
Yes, the guy,
yeah, creepy Bill.
The guy's given him the job, but they need to get the doctors on board. This is like the next part of the process, and Sandy's really worried about the people that don't have insurance. So he really was like, we need to get the doctors on side. Like, this is part of the hospital. This is a whole shtick with the hospital, is that it'll treat people with no insurance.
Yeah. And then we find out that, shock horror, Matt has a personal connection.
Matt knows
the head of the board. It turns out he knows his daughter. Yeah. And Sandy's like, oh, is she a stripper too? But no, it turns out that she was a year ahead of him at college and she had a bit of a thing for him. So Matt wants to use his powers of manipulation. But again, Sandy's just like, no, I draw the line at family. Don't want any liquor or sexual favours.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough.
I kind of disagree. I mean, not with the booze and the sexual favours. That's probably over the line. But like, if you had a connection with somebody, I think there's a way you can do it that's not manipulative.
Yeah.
Like, there definitely is.
I do agree. But I think Sandy just feels the last time that they were going to do this, wine, and he thought they were going to go to a restaurant, but
they're going down a sordid path.
It ended up being a lot more sordid. Yeah. So I think he knows where Matt's at.
Yeah.
You know? So fair dues.
Over at Summer's house, Dr. Roberts, Julie's brought round the brochure for the brochure of the sexy Newport ladies.
Nice ring binder with all the available women.
God, remember ring binders? God.
Yes. It's funny because I was thinking this. I might go into school at some point over the holidays and have a bit of a clear out of my classroom. And I honestly have all these ring binders of resources that probably just haven't been touched in years, but I'm like, oh, I might need them.
Might
it's
need
like
them.
No, everything is
electronic online now, babe.
You know, yeah. So yeah, those ring binders will be getting disposed of.
Do you know the only ring binders I still have, which I will need to confess, I mean, my mum doesn't listen to this podcast, my parents don't listen to this podcast, thank God. But yeah, I still have all of my uni stuff in ring binders.
Oh, really?
Like all the essays I wrote, all like my notes from all my lectures and stuff. But like they're in like, I think I've got like one ring binder for each course per year. So like
that's
quite a hefty box sitting in my parents'
basement. I really wish I'd done that. Or maybe, I wonder if I do have some stuff in the attic. Oh, who knows?
We'll investigate swap notes.
5 stars for your
thanks.
Organizing.
Clearly they mean so much to me that I haven't brought them into my actual home. They just live in my parents' basement. That's how much they mean to me.
But they've got the new match folder and I'm just thinking, okay, this is a total conflict of interest that Julie is trying to, why isn't Kirsten the one going to, I know that it's part of the plan, but no normal business would work like this.
No, definitely not.
And it's also a bit soon. I think he realises it and he's sort of playing her at her own game.
Yeah.
So they start looking through the potential suitors for Neil and he's like, oh, she's pretty. And Julie's like, pear-shaped but pretty. And it's like, oh, she has a nice smile. And Julie's like, adult braces. And it's just so glaringly obvious what she's up to and she just can't help herself. It's like, play it cool, Julie.
Yeah. And like, even his parting line where he's like, all these women look fantastic, leave it with me and I'll get back to you. I'm like, yes. Dr. Roberts, don't be that guy, man. Like, But then do you think, because he has really just recently been separated, because he has had two women leave him, do you think he's actually just being quite guarded and trying to figure out if Julie is actually interested or not?
Maybe.
I mean, it's not okay. Just ask her. Like, don't play games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just trying to rationalise, you know?
But then we cut to Caitlin awaiting Ryan at the pool house.
This is why you lock your doors, guys. This is why you lock your doors.
And she's wearing a really bad outfit. I'm not sure what it is, but I've just written bad outfit.
She's wearing like a very noughties denim skirt. Like, you know, like the denim mini skirts.
Oh, yeah. And then like a long top. I think it's one of those ones that the t-shirt or like takes up half of the skirt, so it looks like she's wearing a tiny skirt, and then I think she had another layer over it.
She had like Converse as well, but not like the ankle boot Converse, like the trainer Converse, which are okay, but the outfit as a whole was not great.
But I like Ryan makes the comment that she should really be going back to school, but she says that midwinter break's a really long one, is it?
Sure.
But she comments on how their love triangle has become a love square now that she's in it.
Yeah. The love triangle we are all, including us, trapped in. Very much trapped in. I would like out of it, please.
Sick of. Yeah. But she's like, look, I like Johnny, but he thinks he has a chance with Marissa. Does he?
Has he said that?
I didn't get that. Yeah, we'll talk about this when we move on as well, because I felt it was a massive flip. But then again, Caitlin being manipulative said that she asked Marissa and Marissa didn't answer her, therefore that's obviously a yes.
Yeah. You're right, Ryan is really good in this episode. He is like, look, this isn't your business and it's not the case. Like, basically telling her to fuck off, isn't he? He's just like, I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested in anything that you have to say. He's like, I think Marissa and I can handle it ourselves. Like, he's just not got time for it.
He's not into it. And she basically wants him to go all Caccino and do something about it, which he does. He goes to the diner and he gets right to the point when he meets Marissa, and she's like, is something wrong? And he's just, and again, it's like the moment we've been waiting for. He's like, I need to know how you feel about Johnny.
Yeah, and then, so blunt and to the point.
She's like, oh, has Caitlin visited you? And he's just like, look, this isn't about Caitlin. This has been an issue way longer before her. And he's like, maybe you feel sorry for him. Maybe you feel you can talk to him when I wasn't listening. Maybe you love him. And she's like, And he's like, look, I don't want to see you until you figure this all out. And it's just like, yes, Ryan.
To be fair, though, she does say, like, I'm with you. Like, what more proof do you need? I am with you. And I kind of stand by her in that. Like, if she loved Johnny, wanted to be with Johnny, she has had plenty of opportunities to dump Ryan and go with him. And she's not. She's stayed with him. She's not cheated on Ryan. She's not kissed Johnny. She's not, but do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, this storyline is so weird. I think if she had kissed Johnny, or if there was more of a romantic connection, or if she had been pursuing him in a romantic way, I'd be a bit more like, okay, this storyline makes sense. But they're just kind of forcing this on her, I feel.
Yeah, I completely get where you're coming from. But at the same time, I think it was important for Ryan to say this, bearing in mind everything that he's been sort of forced into or had to put up with as a result of Johnny. Being in his life.
We talked about this in the last episode as well. Like, we have been waiting for Ryan to be like, enough is enough. Like, this is ridiculous.
And he doesn't do it in typical Caccino fashion. You know, I think he is quite diplomatic. It's like, go away, sort your head out and let it be the end of it. You're sort of sick of the drama.
Can you bear with me 2 seconds? I'm just going to let the cat out.
Is that Kelly?
I might just leave that in, because I imagine for the last 5 minutes, all the listeners have been able to hear in the background is my cat meowing. She was asleep when we started this record, and I thought we were going to make it the whole episode, but clearly not.
Oh, yeah. So we then cut to the Coen kitchen, and we've got Seth and Ryan, and Seth knows some things up by the Atwood grunt.
Yeah.
And Ryan says that he and Marissa are on thin ice.
Yeah. And then, they do this most episodes where Seth and Ryan kind of sum up what's happening. It's really funny. you didn't watch Married at First Sight, did you?
No.
I noticed it a lot watching that, how frequently they recap stuff and kind of remind you what's going on and remind you what the setup is for situations. And it made me think, like, am I just really smart that I can keep up with this? Or are people just like really patronizing to audiences? Like, it's weird. It's really weird.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm quite thankful for it if like I'm sitting on my phone and not actually watching something. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, this is what's happening.
But this was like pre-phones, really. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Do the audience need this much of a reminder every like quarter of an episode? But yeah, we get the other side of the reminder being that Ryan asks Seth like what's happening with Summer, what's happening with like telling her the truth, and he's like, oh, I tried to talk to her but I chickened out. He's trying to reschedule the meeting.
This made me very angry.
I was livid.
And he's like, oh, I'm going to say I've had an epileptic fit or was involved in like a traffic jam. Are you kidding, Seth?
The actual worst.
So we leave that there, and back at the trailer park, Julie is making grits.
I'm going to Google what grits are. Hold on, I'm going to put my mic down.
Yeah, I didn't intend to do this, but...
Grits.
But I feel that they really fit in with the sort of trailer trash.
Grits
etiquette.
Are a porridge made from boiled cornmeal.
Ew. But surprisingly, the girls don't want any, so she goes to offer to Gus, and she says that Gus eats pigeons.
Oh my god, you put butter in it. Oh my god, it looks disgusting. Right, I know we as Scottish people eat some really fucking gross stuff, but it looks like a bowl of like porridge, but like more like rice pudding with like literally a big knob of butter in it. And the butter's kind of melted.
For me.
That is... I love porridge and I will happily try things, but that looks nasty.
Yeah, the first image when you Google it, it's almost like a bowl of porridge with a side of eggs and bacon.
So weird. So weird. But yeah, we get it. They're poor. They have to eat grits. Like, and what Caitlin says that, doesn't she? She's like, God, we live in a trailer park. We get it. Like,
yeah. But Marissa confronts Caitlin about going to see Ryan.
Yeah.
I thought Marissa was really good
in this
scene.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's really firm but fair. She's like, you had no right to talk to Ryan about Johnny. It's none of your business. And it's true. It's absolutely none of her business.
It isn't. And Marissa's just like, look, what did I do to you? It feels like you're punishing me. And Marissa's like, can't wait for you to leave.
Yeah.
Which is harsh, but you can understand.
Yeah. Especially when she's like, when you first came back, I was really excited to like be your pal and like have a relationship again. But now I literally can't wait until you're out of here. And I was like,
nothing but trouble.
Blow, blow. Over to school. Summer catches Seth leaving a room with a teacher. So she goes in to talk to that teacher. And the teacher's super excited because she's like, oh, the guy at Brown absolutely loved you, glowing review. And Summer is like, oh, did they say anything about Seth? You know, that guy, tall, lanky, blah, blah, blah. And this is where the teacher tells her that Seth missed his interview, that he was a no-show. Right, as a teacher, are you allowed to divulge that information?
No, but yeah, so he missed it. It was a no-show. And it just made me laugh because she was like, oh my god, that little bitch. And then it just made me think of the, like, car, the little car.
Bitch.
But yeah, Summer's right.
You've never seen Parks and Recs. I feel like I've asked you this before.
Yeah, you have.
Lil Sebastian. I've got a really bad habit of like calling people Lil. So I'll be like, oh, Lil Zach. Oh, Lil Zach can work. And then I'll be it's Lil Sebastian. It's just cute. It's nice. Anyway, Lil Bitch. He is a Lil Bitch. I agree.
So yeah, you can tell that Summer's on the warpath.
She looks so bad.
No wonder.
So Julie's over at Kirsten's to tell her that their grand plan has failed miserably and that she's now set up Dr. Roberts with someone else. Basically set someone else up on the date that she had
the
planned.
Date that she wanted, yeah. So I'm guessing that the El Forno's place is maybe the place that they were in for their last date.
Oh yeah, the one
remember
by the on
were,
the
like,
water
new location.
Yeah, that was nice.
But Julie's like, she's gonna I can't believe this has happened. He's with her. She's gonna marry them, have free brow lifts for life. So she's like, this is not happening. We're going to do things the Julie Cooper way.
Yeah. As we always say, what would Julie Cooper do?
What would Julie Cooper do? And then we cut to Johnny's room and we've got Johnny and Chili.
We've not seen Chili in bloody ages.
Yeah, we haven't. Chili wants him to forget about Marissa, forget it or go for it.
Yeah. I think this is actually really quite good advice, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, because either you just... get rid of those, like, as he says, go cold turkey, cut her out of your life, that's it, it's over, like, we're not going to be pals, cool. I would have gone for that option, but Chili is like, the other option is just take a shot. There's always a chance she feels the same way, and you won't know unless you ask. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I see where you're going with that, but she does have a boyfriend.
We know it doesn't end well.
No.
But yeah, so this sort of like amps Johnny up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm a bit like, where has this come from? This should maybe have been about 5 episodes ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sandy and Kirsten are having dinner at the yacht club.
Yep.
And Matt comes in with
the doctor's daughter, yeah.
Doctor, yep. Who is Brody's wife in Homeland. Did you watch Homeland?
I watched the first series and I didn't watch anything after that.
Yeah, she's also... I think Mirena Bakarin, the actress, and she's Vanessa in the Deadpool movies as well.
Oh.
And she's also in Gotham.
Gone on to all Ryan the big things. I like it.
Yeah, so her and Ryan reunited down the line.
I love that Kirsten knows who she is because she's read about it in the magazine. And she's like, oh, she's an up-and-coming Yupsie. Cute.
But Sandy's concerned that he's using her. He's like, I'll talk to him tomorrow. Tonight, I'm having dinner with my wife. We'll deal with it then.
I thought this was a bit ridiculous. I feel like there is a line between personal and professional. And I feel like Sandy is like trampling all over this. Because at the end of the day... it's none of Sandy's business who Matt sees outside of work. Like, absolutely none of his business.
No.
But we'll touch on this later because Sandy, Kirsten brings up a lot of very good points, I feel.
Yeah. So we've got Marissa and Johnny at the beach pier and they both agree that things have been weird. And she's like, oh, and before she can go any further, he just goes out and confesses.
Yeah. I love Yang!
Like a weirdo. Not only does he love her, but he thinks that she loves him too.
Oh, what? Can you imagine anything more awkward than a guy coming out and being like, I love you and I think you love me too, and having to be like,
yeah. No. And then he says, I got hurt. You took care of me. I told you to stay away, but you couldn't. There's something between us. And it's just like, oh. Yeah. It's awful, but he asks her to think about it, and she's just like, oh.
What is it? He's like, I'm not imagining this. There's something real between us, which is why neither of us can walk away. Oh.
Run, Marissa, run.
Cut and run, babe. Just get away. It's just so awkward. I also just think, like, you just don't throw the L word about like that. Like, even as a teenager, like... you had to be going out with someone for at least 2 weeks as a teenager before you told them you loved them. Like, it's just so weird. So weird.
But yeah, we then cut to the next morning in the Cone kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandy wants to know if Seth's okay, how things are going. And then Summer.
Oh my God, yes, this is where Summer's arriving. And she's like, I want to talk to Seth in private if that's okay. Like, you just knew. And like, Marissa and Summer and Ryan kind of like give each other this look of like, oh, it's about to go down.
Yep, you know that she's going to batter Seth again.
Yeah. We say this in almost every bloody episode. Don't hit your partner.
Yeah, just don't hit your partner.
It's not okay. But she smacks him in the head and he's like, let me explain. You make it sound so bad. Wah, wah, wah. And she's like, you're in a deceit spiral and like, this isn't okay. You can't lie to me like this. Yada, yada, yada. And he says, I got scared.
Tongue tied, dizzy.
Weak bladder control.
And why didn't he tell her he was embarrassed? And then again, I don't know, Seth has got this way of, it's like, Summer, oh, you're so confident and small and cute. It's always backhanded compliments, I feel.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel as well like he's inadvertently blaming Summer for him being scared. And I'm like, your scaredness is your own...
It's like her success has to be his failure. You know, there's no way that they can coexist. It's always... with Seth, everything's a competition. And as a person that is also very competitive, it's difficult to to say that, you know. But it's a lot.
Yeah, you have this natural confidence. You're cute and small and everyone likes you. I'm a social outcast. Wah, wah, wah. If we go to college together, everyone's going to love you and I'll just be your nerdy boyfriend. You are currently her nerdy boyfriend. Like, what is making you think you're anything other than that, Seth Cohen?
But she says, look, we need to be honest. And he's like, yeah. She's like, is there anything else you want to tell me? And he says, no. He doesn't confess about the pot.
No.
And you're just like, oh, this is bad news.
That was the perfect opportunity. See, if somebody says to you, let's just be honest with each other, is there anything else? That is the opportunity to just put it all out, like air it all out.
I don't think Summer would have been that mad either. She'd probably be like, oh, you're an idiot. But I don't think...
Yeah. She wouldn't be angry, I don't think.
Yeah. But anyway, we've got Sandy and Matt at work the next day, and Sandy tells Matt that he saw him at the yacht club.
Yeah.
And Matt's like, oh, well, actually, she got in touch with me. And he's like, is it illegal to take a girl out for dinner? And he's right.
100%. I just, like, Sandy's putting all of his own, I think I've said this before, it's like separating fact and feelings, and he is not doing that. The simple fact is he saw Matt there with her. He does not know any of the circumstances around that, and he is putting all of his emotions and all of his feelings from I saw creeps in nice suits trying to use Kirsten to get her dad. He is putting all of his own feelings onto the situation that aren't actually there. That's not fact. That's not what's happening. I mean, Matt is a bit of a sleazeball and that's probably what's happening, but he doesn't know that.
So Sandy just says he doesn't have the stomach for all this, and it's just a bit awkward between them.
Is it not Matt that says that to Sandy? It's even worse. Like, Matt is like, oh, Sandy, you're a great guy, but you've not got the stomach for this. Sick burn, Matt. Sick burn.
And we then have Julie visiting... No, we don't. Johnny visiting Ryan at the Coens. Ugh. And I quite like that Ryan's sitting at his, like, desk. It looks like he's drawing. It's all set up.
Continuity issue. Did you notice it?
No.
Where's the punch bag, Jane? Where's the punch bag?
Yeah, but you could take the punch bag down quite easily. You know, you wouldn't have it there all the time, would you?
Why would you bother? Just leave it up all the time.
Oh, that would drive me mad.
I think how heavy it is to lift and hook up.
But Ryan doesn't need it anymore, maybe. He's like, who knows? But maybe
he's punched all that anger out.
He's punched all the anger out. Now he's just drawing. But this is also weird. Johnny comes in and is like, oh, Kirsten seems nice. Mate, she threw you like that. You've met her hundreds of times. Like, he's been at
also,
so many.
Fuck off, Johnny. Why are you here? Yeah. Fuck off.
See, when he says you've always been a really good guy, understatement of fucking forever.
It's the fact that you can just tell, like, what Ryan's first thing he says to him is like, what do you want? Like, it's just like, why are you here, Johnny? Why are you here?
Ryan is so direct in this episode. And for someone that's never been the best about talking about his feelings, I think it's amazing. So Johnny's like, I told Marissa that I love her, and I've just written, I hate Johnny in block capitals.
Oh, I've written punch him in block capitals.
Oh my god, Johnny is the punch bag.
Can you imagine somebody who's been a pain in the arse in your relationship for like 6 months turning up and saying to you, oh, by the way, I told your husband, partner, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend that I love them. I would lose my shit.
Again, I'm not going to list all the things that Ryan has sacrificed or how patient he's been since Johnny came into his life. Fuck off, Johnny. And Ryan just says, what do you want, my blessing? And then he's just like, leave now. Yes, Ryan.
Thanks for that, get out.
Yes.
If this wasn't PG rated, he would have told him to fuck off.
Yeah.
So over at the restaurant, over on Dr. Robert's hot date, we have Julie Roberts in a headscarf and glasses.
She's not Julie Roberts yet.
Oh my god.
Jumping the gun, Heather.
Julie Cooper in her headscarf and sunglasses on the phone, basically listening in on the conversation. Does this not cast, but some of my favorite OC scenes are the ones that are like this, that are like super jokey, super yeah. comedy, like real slapstick vibes. Like, remember when Luke turned up at the party and Julie and Luke are like talking through the glass and yeah. they're like over animated. It's got that really like fun, quirky music. Yeah. I love it.
It's very slapstick. It's great. But she's not very discreet, and she's calling Kirsten, and
yeah.
she's giving her a blow-by-blow account until one of the noopsies ruin her cover.
Yeah. Why are you bundled up like that? Has Newport been taken over by the Taliban?
Fucking hell.
Jesus. Whatever your name is, lady.
Yeah, but she then sees Dr. Roberts and his date and drags Julie over, and it's just so awkward.
My cringe glands were in yeah. pain.
Oh, have you been sitting there the whole time, Julie? Are you spying on me? And then Julie like rushes out, knocking everything over.
Oh, Earth, swallow me up. Yeah. Like, oh God. So bad. See, especially like when she bumps into that waiter and everything clatters and she's just like running out of there. I was just like, it's so awkward.
Yeah, you just really wanted it to be the next scene. Where Caitlin and Marissa are having a chat on the pier, and oh my god, there's a Paul Frank sale. Remember, we spent a considerable
Paul
amount
Frank.
Of
always has sales on. What is
yeah.
this?
Remember, we spent a considerable amount of time talking about Paul Frank.
I love in a previous Paul Frank.
Yeah. But Kirsten tells Marissa that she has to make a decision. It's Ryan or Johnny, and that I think I called her Kirsten there. Caitlin tells Marissa she has to make a decision. It's either Ryan or Johnny. And she says that she's doing her a favour. And then she uses this mad ice cream analogy of
yeah.
trusting your instincts. And it's a skill that you have to learn.
I mean, that is a valid point. I'll give Caitlin that. That is a valid point. And then she says this weird thing where she's like, make a decision and stick with it. That is exactly what she's done. That's exactly what she's done. She's made her decision to stay with Ryan. She has stayed with Ryan. Ergo, she has made her decision and stuck with it, Caitlin. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. And then we find Johnny getting out of the shower, and his mum comes in and she's like, Marissa's left a note for you. And he's like, oh, as if it's almost like a college application or something.
Yeah.
You know, the way the mum gave him it, as if it was opening it with that sort of frenzy. But he goes to read it. We don't know what's in it. We've then got Marissa goes to see Ryan, and she starts off by apologising. Now, before we go any further, I love Marissa's blazer sort of hoodie combo in this. I would have loved it at the time. I love it now. It's like a sort of little kind of grey, not tweed, but like nice material with like a khaki green hood and some trimming. And I just love it. I would wear that now probably.
That was definitely like a uni uniform. I remember yeah. I had like a grey and black tweed like blazer that I used to wear with a hoodie all the time.
So
that
cute.
Was my outfit.
But
those
yep,
were
so.
The days.
She has this nice outfit and she apologises, and Ryan again thinks she's apologising because she's picked Johnny. And I've just written down, love Ryan in this episode.
Yeah. But she turns around, she's like, no, it's not that I want to be with Johnny. I'm sorry if I made you wonder. And I'm like, I think that's good. Because she's not done anything wrong. She's yeah. not apologising for doing anything wrong. But she's apologising if she's done anything to make him feel that way.
Yeah.
And like, we've talked about this at length. Apologies. People are pretty shit at apologies.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if it makes you feel that way. This isn't that. This is quite an honest, yeah. like,
and
I'm sorry
says,
if I made you wonder.
Sorry if I made you wonder. I wasn't able to talk to you about Trey. Then Caitlin came back and it's all just sort of thrown her. Which,
yeah.
I'm like, fair enough, Marissa. And he's not convinced.
Yeah. I thought this was a bit of a weird reaction. He's like, you can't just snap your fingers and go back. But she's not done anything wrong.
I think Caitlin has really, obviously this has been festering for a long time. Caitlin has presented the possibility that maybe Marissa will pick Johnny. So I don't know if it's about Ryan had almost resigned himself to the fact that
yeah.
That's why. Yeah. But anyway, she wants to try, and she's like, "Let's start with dinner."
Meanwhile, at the trailer, Caitlin's watching a movie, and Johnny turns up at the door specifically looking for Caitlin, which is good, I guess.
Yeah.
And he wants to go to the beach for a bonfire and tequila, which sounds delightful. To be perfectly honest,
wants to party. So they get booze and they go to the beach.
A rebound. That's what I've written down. We all do it, guys. Like, that's exactly what's going on here.
So we've then got Kirsten finds Sandy at the office and she brings some takeout and Sandy's just looking really conflicted. And Kirsten says if Sandy wants this, he needs to go for it using whatever means he can. So it's what we've touched upon. Is there any issue in using connections that you have?
No.
Don't think so. But Kirsty knows that Sandy knows where the line is and that he won't cross it.
And she makes like a really valid point, like what we kind of touched on earlier, that like he doesn't know what happened with Matt and Mia, like what is the problem? And I'm glad there was some voice of reasoning in that situation.
And then we cut to the Coen house and we've got Seth smoking pot again and listen to Black Flag when summer arrives with movies.
Two of my favourites, guys. Yeah. Ultimate classic movies. Save the Last Dance, Julia Stiles at her best. She's all that.
Freddie Prinze Jr. Love it.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a lucky lady.
She is. I had such like a crush on Freddie Prinze Jr. when I was a teenager. Like I loved him so much and I loved Sarah Michelle Gellar in equal amounts. So
yeah, Buffy for life.
Yeah. But Summer smells something and Seth's like, oh, it's just some burning some incense.
Bill, like, weed has such a distinct smell. Like, if you know what weed smells like, there's no way you can think it's anything else. Like, that is just what it smells like. Weird. Back to the beach. This does not look fun.
No.
This does not look fun.
So awkward. So Johnny's tanning the tequila and drunk Johnny's like worse than sober Johnny, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not great.
We didn't think it was possible, but he is. And Caitlin's just a bit like, wants to just hook up. She's saying the fire's so romantic, but it's dying. So Caitlin's like, right, I'll go and get some driftwood. And right, this, whoever, again, we've said it before, the music for this show is amazing. When they put the arrangements of it. So fucking having Johnny read Marissa's letter accompanied by a shit James Blunt tune was just perfect. Absolutely perfect.
You leave James Blunt alone. Oh. Okay? I don't like his music, but he's hilarious on Twitter.
I have saw the odd tweet, but yeah, his music is boring as fuck.
We normally don't have anything bad to say about the music. The music is not something we critique. It's normally very, very good.
Awesome.
I didn't like that they used this song here from the start and then
came back.
Started it at the exact same point at a later scene, and I was just like, that I found that really jarring. Like, it really made me be like, oh, they're playing this song again, rather than it felt not right. I feel like someone made a mistake and someone needs to look at it and change it. Thanks.
But Johnny doesn't want to remember, and he wants to throw the letter into the fire, whatever. Marissa's obviously rejected him. I'd actually have liked to see what she'd written, but
I wonder if she writes a good Dear John letter.
Yeah, I wonder. But Johnny wants to rock climb, and I've just written down in the words of Celine Dion, it's all coming back to me. And I was like, oh fuck.
As soon as this rock climbing idea was planted, I was like, okay, I see what's happening here. Although I think back to like when I was a teenager and me and my pals were out drinking, probably at Caitlin's age, and like the stupid, really unsafe stuff that we did. Never quite rock climbing, but like definitely unsafe stuff that we were doing. And I'm like, oh, that makes me quite scared. Like looking back on it, I'm like, oh, I could have died. That's weird. I don't want to ruin it before we get there. But yeah, like it's the stupid shit you do when you're drunk and the stupid thing you do when you're drunk and a teenager. I was like, oh, I see how they've got to where they are in this
storyline. A drunk, emotional teenager.
Back at the trailer.
Dr. Roberts comes a knocking and she thinks it's Gus. But basically she can tell she looks quite upset. She's mortified. She wants him to leave. And then, oh, it's just amazing. It's fallen for her.
Yeah. What do you want? You, when I'm not around you, I miss you. I've fallen for you.
You're manipulative, aggressive, and you stretch the truth. But yeah, it's very cute. It's lovely.
I guess it's that thing where, like, he's basically saying, like, I know who you are at your worst and I'm still interested. Like,
yeah,
that's quite romantic in its own weird way.
It is. And then we flash back to the beach where Johnny is rock climbing. Caitlin's screaming. She wants him to come down.
Stupid.
He won't come down and he reaches the cliff top.
Says the most foreboding line in the world. I'm not wasted. I'm not going to fall. Aww. Well, you've just set the scene for exactly what's going to happen there, haven't you? In that simple sentence.
Yeah, before, I think you know this, like I got hit by a taxi.
Yeah, I remember that picture. That picture is awful and terrifying.
Yeah, I think my words were, they won't hit me. They've got brakes. Splat, yeah.
Yeah, scary. Seth. Yeah, we go back to Marissa and Ryan in the pool house.
Yeah, they brought in dinner.
And Marissa and Ryan say, Seth was really into that movie and he ate all of our dumplings.
Yeah, he's got the munchies.
They both know he's been smoking weed. Like, at what point are they not like, hey, do you think Seth might be high?
Yeah. But Marissa's like, look, I think we should talk. And Ryan's like, I don't really want to. And Marissa's just, again, she just wants Ryan. And they have a kiss and start getting all hot and steamy. And of
getting
course,
down to business.
The phone rings.
Mm-hmm. And do you want to get that? Not really.
Nah.
Nope.
Do you not think that their ringtones are so shrill as well?
Yeah.
You forget how brutal and like piercing and how much ringtones used to go through you in the early
phones. I can tell
you
what my ringtone is. Like, I've had my phone on vibrate for the last like 10 years.
Yeah, I don't even have it on vibrate or sound. Actually, I got a Fitbit recently and it's good because my Fitbit vibrates when my phone
rings.
I don't mind that because I'm like, my mum goes mental. She's like, why do you not? And I was like, oh, I don't like getting the fright.
Phone vibrate. Yeah. You would not have coped well with those like naughties like ring.
Yeah, no. I often wander around the flat with my headphones on, listening to an audiobook or a podcast. And anytime Stephen comes anywhere near me, I like get the fright of my life. And he's like, you need to stop doing that. Like, just don't wear headphones.
What if
like,
somebody
don't
robs
like.
You?
Well, I'm in the house, but it's more I just get like such a fright. Don't know. I'm quite easily scared. Don't creep up on me, guys.
And when we report back in a series time that Jane has high blood pressure, you know why.
But they eventually answer the phone and we've got Caitlin screaming down it. Drunk Johnny is the worst. And obviously we need White Knight Ryan to run to the rescue.
Yeah. Although I think the girl that plays Caitlin is really good here because she does genuinely sound scared. Yeah. I thought that was quite good. A good acting moment must not be ignored on this show.
Yep, she is genuinely scared. Meanwhile, Seth's just stoned and crying at Save the Last Dance.
It is really emotional when she gets into Juilliard.
Yeah, but Summer's just a bit like, what the fuck?
What's going on?
And then when the blue screen pops up at the end and Seth's like, whoa, Summer clicks. And she's like, I'm going to the toilet, but clearly she's gone to his room to see what's going on. And she confides.
I love the wee line as she was leaving. And he's like, we should take our pants off. Yeah. Like peak stone chat. Peak stone chat.
But Summer, she confides in Captain Oates. She's like, what's going on? And she finds the weed and is just a bit like, oh, gross. She's a bit grossed out by it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. This last scene. I've never seen this show before. And I feel for the last 100 episodes, I've been like, Johnny's the worst. I hate Johnny. I just wish Johnny would get out of this series. Wow. This is not what I meant, guys. Yes, this is not what I meant.
Pretty extreme.
It's so extreme.
So Ryan and Marissa get to the beach. And Ryan obviously runs to get Johnny while Marissa goes to try and comfort Caitlin on the beach. Ryan's like, look, you just need to stall Johnny until I can speak to him. And when Ryan gets there, he's like, oh, you're the last person I want to see. And he's like, oh, is this you? Are you going to save me one more time in front of Marissa? She'll love you even more. And oh, I know he's drunk. I know he's emotional. But I'm like, come on. How many times has Ryan had to save you due to your poor decisions?
Yeah, this is, it's so weird because, like, shit like this does happen. Like,
yeah,
people get drunk and have accidents that, like, I don't think Johnny was intending on killing himself.
No,
I don't think that's what the storyline was. But he has presumably died. Like, we don't actually, I'm going from Ryan's facial expression that Johnny's pretty dead. But yeah, it's just, it's pretty, like, not even emotional, just very shocking. Like, it wasn't, when Caleb died, I felt really emotional. I was like, God, this is really sad. Like, especially when you saw Julie trying to save him and then Julie having to phone Sandy telling Kirsten. There was a lot of emotion there, whereas I didn't feel anything but shock in this this death.
It's really interesting you say that because I think it's one of those things that you're like, well, that could have gone one way or another, and it has been this sort of freak accident. And yeah, it is. It's really, I remember a few years ago, it was the same hen weekend I was coming back from that I'd met Kerry on, and heard that there was a young guy that was in a band, Glasgow band, and he had fallen into the Clyde. And I knew a lot of people that knew him, and also just like my brother can be like mental and adventurous when he's drunk, you know. It sounded like something he would do, oh, let's like walk up here or do this, and that kid's life was just cut so short. It was just so tragic and awful. And you can just tell that would have been something that wasn't even thought about, you know. Just a daft decision that has, it gave me like those sort of vibes, you know, that you're just thinking, God, that could, there's been many situations that stupider things have been done, and the consequences can be so brutal.
I guess that's the thing as an adult, is like, as a kid, as a teenager, I think even in my early 20s, like, I did not think about the potential consequences of my actions in the same way that I do now. And that feeling of like being indestructible, like, I guess when you're young, you just don't think you're gonna die. Not to get too heavy, but you don't. Like, it's not something really that is on your mind. I didn't find it was on my mind. And it's only now, like, in my 30s, that I'm like, oh my God, everyone's going to die one day.
You're much more aware of your own mortality, aren't you? Oh gosh, my chest feels like quite tight from just...
She's had a fright, guys. She's had a fright. I did not expect the storyline to go this way. I did not expect that kind of brutal and abrupt end to the Johnny storyline.
And they're going to have to deal with the aftermath
from that. I just, like, particularly for Marissa, she has had so much trauma in her life, like so much trauma in her life, and so much like death or near death, that I'm just like, I don't think this is going to be good for her. At all.
Yeah. Again, on the rewatch, you know, knowing how things go down the line, it's just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So
it is. What a bummer to end on.
I know, it doesn't even feel like, I don't know, it doesn't even feel appropriate to be like, what's going to happen next?
So what happens next? Maybe we just do a light touch one. Yeah, I think, like, obviously we're going to have the fallout from this. Caitlin's going to have to go back to school, but presumably she'll be in another episode to deal with the fallout of this. God. Yeah.
Because it just makes everything seem trivial, doesn't it? Like, who really cares about whether Seth and Summer get into Brown, who, you know, like, that would be, that's just all encompassing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all know at the crux of it, the only storyline I care about is Julie and Dr. Roberts.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping this won't impact that. But yeah, it kind of messes everything else up, doesn't it? Listener of the week.
Da-da-da-da-da, listener of the week. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, we need something cheery.
I know, God. No pressure. Okay, our listener of the week this week. I don't know if we've made them listener of the week before, but they messaged this week and made me laugh. So you can have it again if you've not had it before. Heidi McDermott messaged us. Messaged us last week saying, oh my God, please don't judge Australia by Married at First Sight. We find it entertaining and cringe as well. And I couldn't stop laughing. Actually couldn't stop laughing. Because you forget that, like, we're all watching it from Britain, being like, these Australians on the show are absolutely insane. And I can't imagine, like, I sometimes think of like these bad Scottish stereotypes that are out there. And I'm like, oh my God, we're not like that. Oh, I can't imagine how cringe it must be. So thanks, Heidi. You made me laugh a lot. Aww. So yeah, thanks for getting in touch. I feel like I really need to go and like properly look at who has been in touch, because we've had, I don't want to be that like humble boast guy, but we've had a lot of people get in touch recently, and I can't keep up. So it's the Easter holidays this week. I'll go and do some homework, and I'll have proper organization skills by next week, hopefully.
Awesome.
If you want to be in a chance of being a listener of the week, you can follow us at Never Seen the OC on Twitter and Instagram, and you can leave us a little review. We love that on Apple Podcasts, or subscribe as and where you listen to podcasts like Spotify. I guess we'll just say bye then.
Yeah, that's us for another week. Bye.
Bye. What an abrupt ending, Heather.